Blog Talk Radio.
Indiana's 74-51 victory over Penn State, and provide you with something a little bit more entertaining than the college football game going on right now, where Alabama leads 21-0. It was another blowout victory, and people might say, you know, Indiana's only faced Iowa and Penn State. All I know is this team has now gone on the road two straight times to start the Big Ten season, and they've got two victories. And in the Big Ten, you can't take any road wins for granted. And so 2-0 in the Big Ten with two road victories is definitely a good thing. I'm your host, Jared Morris. I will be joined here momentarily by Andy Bottoms, Ryan Phillips, and Zach Gropper, as I always am. And we'll be breaking down this game, as well as looking ahead to Saturday's big matchup against Tubby Smith's Minnesota Golden Gophers. But before we get to that, let's talk about tonight's game. We'll start out like we always do with the banner moment. And for me, you know, it comes down to one guy tonight, and that's Christian Wofford, who I thought was clearly the MVP of this game. He came out and scored 8 of the team's first 10 points, finished with 16 points, 8 rebounds. You know, really more than the numbers, it was how he played. He was aggressive. You know, he was looking for a shot early, but also getting his shot within the rhythm of the offense, which was good to see. He was making three-pointers. He was driving to the basket. It was really about as effective as we've seen him be, effective and efficient as we've seen him be all season long. You know, he only took 8 shots to get those 16 points. Told you about the 8 boards. He had 2 assists. I really just thought it was a really solid all-around performance from Christian. He's a guy that, you know, we've spent some time criticizing on this show, but at the end of the day, that's now 5 straight games for Christian in double figures, which is good. As they mentioned on the broadcast, and as we've talked about here many, many times, you know, Christian is an X factor for this team, and he's the guy that takes this from, you know, that really takes us from, you know, a team that's maybe, you know, 10th to 15th in the country to a team that's a legitimate top 5 team that can win the Big Ten with his versatility, his ability to score, and his experience. And so we need him to continue to build on performances like these as the competition starts to get more stiff in the Big Ten. And tonight is certainly a good sign that he'll be able to do that. All right, so with that said, let's now go over to Ryan and Andy and Zach and get their thoughts on the game. And we will start with Ryan first, who I know has a rant dealing with the start of the second half, but also contrasting that a little bit with what was a great start to the first half for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, my rant tonight is just that they came out, I mean, IU came out, and that first 10 minutes was just incredible. I thought it was the best they looked all season. Some people suggested maybe it was the North Carolina game, but, you know, what I was saying with that is it's as good as they've looked all season. And I don't think they've looked better than that. And they just, it was offensively, defensively, they were getting back, they were making plays, they were getting their hands in passing lanes, and then they were finishing at the other end. And again, like you said, Christian Wofford, when he's being aggressive like that, it takes the offense to another level. Even if he's not scoring, it's just another thing that the opponent has to look out for. And so I really thought they played very well in that first 10 minutes. And then the second half, I thought it was, they were just kind of, for a long time, it just seemed like they were playing out the string. They had a couple nice little, you know, 3 minutes of play or 2 or 3 minutes here or there. But for the most part, I thought they were just playing out the string. And honestly, I know some people were upset about that, but really, people don't understand how hard it is to keep that level of intensity up, especially when the energy comes completely out of a building and you're up by 19 and this other team isn't pushing you back at all. It's hard to get fired up, hard to stay focused. I thought they did an okay job in just getting the game over with, getting a road win. I mean, it's a 23-point road win in the Big Ten. That's not easy to do. And so it was, I mean, if you saw the crowd, it was half empty by, you know, the time the second half rolled around. So it was just a tough environment to play in, and I thought they stuck to it. They did turn the ball over a lot, but I think that in a closer, more, you know, game with more intensity, that's not going to happen. So I just want people to not want to jump off a bridge because of how they looked at times during the second half.
Good point, Ryan. Let's go over to Andy now, who will give us his bottom line on tonight's victory.
Well, I don't think this was surprising to any of us after Holds went 0-10 in the game against Iowa, but he had a good bounce-back game, and again, I don't think that surprised any of us, but, you know, obviously good for him to go back to a place where he has his career high last year with 28, and he got half of that tonight with 14, but he was 4-6 on the floor, 2-3 from three-point range, hit 4 free throws, and, you know, grabbed a couple of rebounds, had a couple assists, so I think, again, not anything to worry about with a guy who's proven himself over his career and what a good shooter he is, but I thought it was a good bounce-back performance from him and good that he has his confidence going into these next few games, and particularly the Minnesota game on Saturday that I know we'll talk about later. But, you know, I just thought he really played a solid game, took essentially some of the same shots that he took against Iowa, and they just went down tonight. But I thought he played well and played unselfishly. I was actually surprised, again, assuming these stats are right, that he only had 2 assists. I thought he made a number of unselfish plays and set other guys up to score. So I thought it was a good bounce-back game from him and one where the team really just took care of business.
Yeah, you know, I sure hope no one was losing sleep over Jordan Hull's, you know, struggles against Iowa. I mean, look, a shooter's going to have a bad night every now and then, and we've seen Jordan up, and, you know, I think just seeing him come out and shoot well tonight, you know, I'm sure it didn't surprise anybody. You know, we've talked about the offense. Let's talk a little bit about the defense. Again, you know, that coming into the season was, you know, we knew Indiana was going to score. The question was, could we stop people? Now, neither Iowa nor Penn State is any type of offensive juggernaut, but still, we've gone on the road now, gave up 65 points against Iowa, 51 against Penn State. You know, so that's a pretty good point per game average there. And tonight, holding Penn State to, you know, 0.77 points per possession, which, you know, I know they're without Tim Frazier, all these different things. That's still an impressive performance on defense, no matter who you're playing. Andy, you know, what are you seeing from Indiana's defense now? I mean, we were kind of waiting for the competition to get a little bit better. It's starting to get a little bit better in the Big Ten season now. You know, are we seeing things from this defense that are going to be able to sustain once the competition ratchets up another level as we get deeper in Big Ten season?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things I was most impressed with tonight was how well Yogi played on DJ Newbill. I actually figured that Oladipo would start out on him, but Penn State, for, you know, they don't have, you know, a ton of offensive talent, but they do have some pretty solid size, and, you know, their starting guards are pretty big, so it was at least a game where you could see a little bit of how you might be able to defend those guys. And I thought Yogi did a particularly good job. You know, Newbill ended up 3-15 with 5 turnovers on the game, and I thought he did a nice job there. I just thought, in all, I mean, he forced almost 20 turnovers. Some of them were just careless errors, obviously, but, you know, I thought they were aggressive. There were a couple of really good plays when I think Watford drew a charge when he did a really good job of rotating down. Zeller had, you know, kind of gambled on a play, and, you know, he stepped in, took a charge. I think they had a few charges taken on the night, and just thought they were aggressive in the first half. I think even in the beginning of the second half, they were still fairly aggressive on defense and just couldn't really get anything going offensively. But I thought, all in all, it was a really good defensive effort, you know, minus some of the issues on the offensive boards where they gave up, you know, 13 to Penn State. I think that's an area that you definitely have to be at least a little bit concerned about against Minnesota, because they're a really good offensive rebounding team. But, you know, overall, I think the, you know, individual on-ball defense has been better. Played some zone again tonight. Again, I'm not sure whether that was effective because it was played well or because Penn State's not a good team shooting from the perimeter. But, you know, I think Saturday's game will certainly be, you know, the next big test of the defense. But I thought they played well again tonight. And, you know, it's while it's hard to gauge and for everybody to feel great one way or the other about how they play against these teams. At the very least, they're, you know, not letting up against, you know, lesser competition, which I think is something that, you know, in the past hasn't always been the case. So you kind of play who's on the schedule at that point, and they've played well against who they've played so far.
Well, and hold that thought again about Minnesota, because we do want to cover that here in just a minute. Before we get there, though, I want to go over to our buddy Zach. And he wants to talk a little bit about the depth of this Indiana team. And this was a topic that was discussed coming into this game. I know there was an article that I read. It was either on Pigs or Inside the Hall. I don't remember which one. But that, you know, that includes some quotes from Tom Crane about really wanting to get Hunter more involved and wanting to get Jeremy Hollowell more involved and kind of get these guys, you know, integrated more, you know, get them more minutes, you know, because obviously they had to miss some time, but we know that we're going to need this depth. That really didn't come to fruition tonight. You know, Hunter played 8 minutes, had 3 fouls, you know, generally didn't do a whole lot. Hollowell did play 10 minutes. Derek Ellison apparently tweaked his knee a little bit in the shoot-around, so he didn't play. Jerkin got in there for a minute. You know, so we kind of saw that normal 7-man rotation with Will Sheehy and Remy Abel providing some really solid minutes off the bench, but that was really about the extent of the competition from the bench guys. So I want to go over to Zach and get some of his thoughts on, you know, what he's seen from the bench here, you know, these first two games against Iowa and Penn State, and kind of what, Zach, you think, you know, how deep you think this Indiana team can be as the Big Ten season progresses.
Yeah, well, going back to the beginning of the season and, you know, preseason, Indiana's biggest selling point, if you will, was their depth. It was Indiana number one, Louisville number two, and pretty much everybody dubbed them the two deepest teams in the country. And to this point, you know, whether it's been because of injuries or just personal struggles, whatever it has been, you know, the team just really doesn't seem as deep as we thought it was. Now, they still may be deep enough. I don't want to say, you know, it's something to grow extremely worried with right away. But nonetheless, they're not as deep as we thought as we thought they were at one point. You know, we can say that much. I think, you know, I speak for all of us when we say, you know, we thought Perea would do a lot more with his opportunity. Of course, missing the first 9 games seems like it's hurt him a ton. He didn't really get comfortable, you know, in those blowout games against the easier competition. Obviously hurt him, Peter Jerkin as well. You know, Jeremy Hollowell pretty much comes in, turns the ball over. We know he's very capable offensively. He's been okay at times defensively. But nonetheless, you know, he's kind of been a liability when he's in there to this point on the season. Remy Abel and Will Sheehy have been great off the bench, have, you know, given us great depth. They can pretty much do it all off the bench defense, you know, competent offense for Abel. And, you know, great offensive times for Sheehy. So, you know, we've got those two guys with our 5 starters who have been playing pretty well overall, or at least, you know, some of them are coming around now. But, you know, we're going to need those backup big men. And, you know, I think pretty much everybody thought, you know, we have more than enough, if anything, with Perea, with Jerkin, with Elston, you know, maybe even with Hollowell, because he played down low early in the season with Prey and Jerkin suspensions for a while. But, you know, at this point, you know, in the tough games against Minnesota, Michigan, Michigan State, et cetera, you know, it's not really that clear how much we're going to be able to lean on Prey and Jerkin, Elston, any of these guys, well, any of those guys, you know. And really all the team needs is one of them to step up and really, you know, come into their own, you know, be able to give the team, you know, 15 minutes, maybe a game, you know, and really just give a good, strong defensive presence and competent offense. But to this point, you know, we haven't gotten that, and we're definitely going to need that, you know, later in the season when we get into tournament play. And so I kind of just wanted to hear what you guys thought about that, because it's a team that, you know, if I'm worried about anything at this point, you know, with Wofford coming around, with Holes tonight proving that, you know, last game was nothing but an anomaly, you know, I think that the only thing to worry about at this point is the depth. But when we go, you know, 7 deep consistently, and after that, it's really a crapshoot.
Well, let's go over to Ryan first, because, Ryan, you've been very effusive in your praise of the bench and, I guess, your belief that it would come around. And we know there's talent on that bench, but at what point do we need to see that talent start to translate into production before, you know, we just start looking at this team as a, you know, kind of 7-man team that maybe every now and then there's going to be a guy that steps up, but where you can't really count on the end of that bench?
Well, like Nick said, I think that, you know, Sheehy and Abel have shown really to be two of the more consistent bench guys in the country. I mean, Abel's the kind of guy defensively, he doesn't have to score at all to really have an impact on the game, and we've seen that for the past year and a half. Sorry, did I say Nick? I meant Zach. But yeah, I think that really the suspensions hurt. I mean, they really did, if you look. I mean, you didn't get a chance for those young guys to get a lot of action early on. And then, you know, Hollowell was getting in games, and then he had to sit for a few games. And so that really throws things off. I agree we're going to need the bench, but I also think that the bench will come around. I think that a guy like Perea, he just needs on-court experience, and it's hard to get that right now because we definitely want to get these road wins out of the way, and I don't think Crean is willing to experiment too much to get, you know, at this point because he just wants to get these road wins. You know, road wins are like gold in the Big Ten, so he wants to get the first two, and now maybe, you know, in stretches of games you can see him play, you know, more as the season goes on. I mean, Jerkin was always a project. I think when he comes in, all he's going to do is play defense. So I think he's more of a future kind of guy, and he might get some time this year, but really he was always the kind of guy that they're looking to develop, whereas guys like Hollowell and Yogi and Perea were expected to make an impact this year. Hollowell obviously needs to work on his ball handling. He's turned the ball, and just his decision-making, he's turned the ball over too much. And Perea, again, just needs to get in the game. And when he has been in there, there have been times he's looked fantastic. I mean, there was that one game where he grabbed 10 boards in about 8 minutes, it seemed like. You know, obviously offensively, that takes time. That's where you have to refine your game the most. But if he can come in and spell Cody from time to time and Hollowell can come in and help him do that, I think we'll be fine. We will need a bench. Zach is right. But I think that it's the kind of thing that that will come around, and it just takes time. These other guys have all been playing together for so long. You know, you've got to kind of work the newer guys in, and it is a process.
Yeah, you know, and Indiana's counting on a lot of young guys in that bench. I mean, you know, unfortunately, Derek Elson and Maurice Creek, the two guys who are veterans and have been around, can't shake the injury bug. I did see a good note earlier today. Apparently, Don Fisher on the pregame show said that Mo was about a week, maybe 2 weeks out from being back out there, which is obviously great to hear, you know, that he will be able to get back out there. You know, but obviously missing Elson's experience hurts. And then, you know, outside of those guys, and you know, now you're counting on three freshmen to come in and play those big minutes. And Andy, I want to get your thoughts just, you know, in general, you know, kind of your belief in these guys' abilities to turn that potential into production. And also from a big picture perspective, you know, how much does Indiana need those guys? Like, how deep does a team need to be to win a Big Ten championship and to win a national championship? And it might be two different things. You probably need the depth a lot more to get through the grind of a Big Ten season. But then, you know, kind of in that shorter 3 week span of a tournament, it seems like a lot of times benches shrink anyway. You know, so I'm curious to get your perspective on how much, you know, whether this bench comes into being if Indiana can go 8, 9, 10 deep, how much that'll impact their chances for a Big Ten championship and then potentially for an NCAA championship down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, I'd say if you can get to a point where you've got about 8 guys you feel like you can trust, I think you're in decent shape there. Particularly once you get to the tournament, you got a little bit longer timeouts. You've got, you know, more time generally. You know, you got the weekends, but you've got the whole kind of week to recover and things like that. So I think that's kind of where you want to be at that point, and that's why a number of coaches will shorten up their bench as you get to that place. I think, you know, IU's really not that far off of that. You certainly have, you know, Sheehy and Abel. I think we all feel pretty comfortable when those guys are in the game. I think the question is which of those big guys, and you've got, you know, essentially 3 to pick from. I'm going to, you know, leave Jerkin out of that conversation. You've got, you know, somebody among Elston, Hollowell, and Perea that you need to get to a point where you can start to depend on. And I think, you know, for me, the difference in some ways is what are you asking those guys to do? I think in times they're putting those guys in – if you put those guys in situations where they can be successful, they don't need to score a lot of points. You know, you don't need to run plays where you're going to – you know, find post-ups for Perea because I'm not sure that they feel comfortable giving him the ball, that he's going to, you know, be able to hold on to it well enough. You need him to come in, alter a few shots, rebound, play solid on defense, which he's really kind of struggled with in terms of, you know, just kind of keeping up with his guy on pick-and-roll type scenarios and those kinds of things. But I think you get him to that point, you can feel pretty good about it. And then, you know, Elson's the guy who, he gets healthy, he can come in and knock down shots. Maybe he's the one that steps up, but again, can't quite shake the injury bug. And then Hollowell, kind of the same deal. He's really been strong on the boards, had a couple nice blocks against Iowa, and I think can do the most of those kinds of things. I think they continue to put him in positions, or he puts himself in positions at times when he gets out on in transition and is just a turnover waiting to happen. And I think, yeah, they got to do a good job of kind of knowing the personnel, and that's on the guys that, you know, are handling the ball. You got to find ways to give him the ball in situations where he's going to be successful. And part of that, he needs to know his limitations, but I think, you know, other guys need to know those as well. And I think that's where he can get a little bit frustrating, is that he's out there trying to do too much, and that's not really what they need. You know, there's going to be enough other guys out there. So, I mean, I think I'd feel comfortable if you got to the point where, you know, one of those guys steps up, and, yeah, you might need any or all of them to play minutes at times during the Big Ten. But I think if you get to a point where, you know, one of those guys came on the field and you felt the way that you felt when, Remy Abel's on the floor, I think you'd feel pretty good.
Good point, Andy. And I want to, you know, kind of look ahead now and start talking about Minnesota. Before we do that, though, you know, we probably should mention the two best players on Indiana's team, Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo, who, well, they didn't necessarily have standout games. I mean, they were, you know, their normal solid selves tonight. You know, Cody had 15 points, only 5 boards, but he did have 4 steals, a few of which were really, you know, kind of spectacularly impressive defensive plays. Had a couple of blocks. You know, they were a combined 9 of 13 from the field, you know, so really efficient, you know, shooting, which you've come to expect from them. You know, real quickly, Andy, just your thoughts on those two guys. I know, you know, Victor Oladipo's 6 turnovers concerned you a little bit. You know, does Cody just getting 5 rebounds in a game like this concern you? I mean, give me kind of your thoughts on those two guys' performance tonight before we move forward.
Yeah, I mean, from a rebounding standpoint, you know, Penn State came in as one of the better defensive rebounding teams in the country, so I wasn't expecting a ton on the offensive glass and didn't really get it tonight as a team. Would you like to see him grab a few more rebounds? Yeah, but I don't know that in this game that's a huge issue. Certainly, I think that's going to be important, though, come Saturday. Again, you know, Minnesota's a team that's just, you know, rebounding about half of their missed shots, so you can't really fall into those kinds of patterns where you're giving that up, so he has 5 rebounds on Saturday. I think I'm probably having a different discussion, or I'm at least drinking more heavily during that discussion. So I think that's not a huge concern. The thing with him that I'm a little bit more concerned about is the turnovers. He had 3 turnovers again. I think at least one of the ones that got attributed to Victor, I would argue, was a pass that Cody could have caught. And I think, you know, I wrote in the preview, the turnovers against Iowa kind of concerned me. And more than that, it was where they came from. They were weighted pretty heavily to the front court in that game. Obviously, with Oladipo getting 6 tonight, that's not necessarily the case this evening. But, you know, he's got to be strong with the ball down there because he's going to draw fouls. And that kind of leads to the other part of, you know, missed 4 free throws again tonight. But, you know, try not to blow too much of that stuff out of proportion. But definitely, you know, again, areas where he ends up with 15 points and you can still find, you know, kind of holes to poke and things. And then as far as Oladipo went, just, I mean, he wasn't as aggressive offensively tonight. I don't think he necessarily needed to be. He only took 6 shots. But had 6 rebounds, 3 assists. You know, I think you do that and cut the turnovers in half and get him at, you know, 3 turnovers. I don't think anybody probably thinks too much of it. I think it was just a case of didn't need quite as much from him tonight. I don't think he had quite the, you know, challenge defensively tonight that he's had in some of these other games. That seems to kind of get him amped up on both ends of the floor. So, in general, I thought it was, minus the turnovers, I thought another solid all-around game for him. So, nothing too much to worry about. I think both guys we'll probably need to do more on Saturday, though.
All right, let's start looking ahead to Minnesota. Zach and Ryan, hang around so you can get your final thoughts, and if you guys want to. I know there's a real exciting BCS game going on right now, but if that doesn't steal your attention away, then you guys can get some thoughts here at the end of the show. But, Andy, let's talk a little bit about Minnesota. You know, they're coming into Assembly Hall. This is the last team that beat Indiana in Assembly Hall. We all remember that very disappointing game coming on the heels of the Kentucky victory, where Indiana just came out flat. I mean, it was, you know, after they had the Sports Illustrated article, and it was just kind of one of those games where, you know, kind of looked like the guys, you know, been kind of reading the press clippings a little bit, and they just didn't come out focused and ready to play and beat a team that they really should have beaten. Well, you know, now Minnesota comes in here as a top 10 team. You know, they've got Trevor Mbakwe back, Rodney Williams down low, the Hollins brothers. I mean, they are a loaded, very good team. You know, this is going to be a marquee matchup. Certainly, unlike last year, there's no chance of Indiana overlooking Minnesota. But all that said, to kind of set the stage, what kind of matchup is this for Indiana? Where does Indiana have an advantage, and where are the disadvantages going to come from that might be concerning for Hoosier fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, to kind of, you know, the parts that IU really has to be concerned with, you know, Minnesota's first in the nation offensive rebounding percentage at again, almost 50%. So out of every 2 missed shots they're throwing up there, they're getting one of them back. And I think, you know, Trevor Mbakwe has a lot to do with that. But they've got a lot of depth, too. I mean, they've got a number of guys who are rebounding really well. Rodney Williams, really athletic guy who's been solid on the boards. And they've really got, you know, good, it's similar to IU, a lot of depth that Tubby Smith uses. So I think that's one area, particularly based on the way that things played out tonight. If you look at other things they do well offensively, you know, not surprisingly with that many offensive rebounds, they shoot the ball really well inside the arc, but they're not a great three-point shooting team. And as good as, you know, Andre Hollins has been, he's not a true point guard in that sense, and so they have had some turnover issues. So I think that's an area where, you know, if IU can kind of build on some of the things they were able to do tonight, force some turnovers. Don't know if they press a bit more as they did tonight and really try to take advantage of some of that. I think that can be pretty important in the game, at least when Minnesota has the ball. You know, Hollins is going to be a tough matchup. That he's, you know, he's only 6'1", so, you know, maybe that's the case where you see, you know, Yogi matched up with him again, and Oladipo goes on, you know, Rodney Williams or somebody like that. So, you know, so those are the things to look for on that end. You know, defensively, ironically enough, for a team that is really good on the offensive glass, Minnesota actually allows a lot of offensive rebounds, which is a pretty strange stat. You'd think that you'd be good on both ends, but that's not really the case. So maybe that's an area where, you know, unlike tonight, IU's able to get a few more second chance points and things like that. But overall, they've got some pretty solid defensive numbers as well. So I think it should be a really, really even matchup. They definitely have some big guys inside. I think if, you know, there's a case where, you know, fans were worried about some of that inside depth that we talked about earlier, I think this is a game where you'd really like to have, you know, one or two of those guys that we mentioned, you know, step up. I think Wofford definitely is going to have a big game. And, you know, Zeller certainly putting pressure on those guys is going to be important inside. So it should be a really good matchup. Tubby Smith is going to have a really cool mustache if people haven't seen him since then. So got that to look forward to. It should be a really good game. I think noon is the tip time. And I think I heard Jim Jackson reference that it was going to be a Big Ten Network game that he would be at again. So maybe Tom Hamilton will be there again, super excited like he was tonight, and really get the environment going.
You know, you just stole my thunder, Andy, because I was going to ask you from a personal style perspective if you gave the advantage to Tom Crean's permatan or Tubby Smith's mustache. I mean, who wins that battle?
I feel like Tubby Smith's mustache, it looks like he stole it from, like, Wilford Brimley. It's amazing. I couldn't be more excited about it. So I don't know. I don't know if there's really no loser in that matchup. So it's certainly a sight to behold. I think people thought he was growing it for men's health awareness, but he apparently is sticking with it. Maybe because the Gophers are playing well, or maybe he's just going for a different look. I'm not really sure. So either way, should be a good matchup.
Yeah, Movember has morphed into Manuary for Tubby Smith, so he's keeping the mustache on. And, you know, speaking of Tom Hamilton, you know, I tweeted out that he really did an impressive job tonight of hitting every single cliched IU basketball talking point of the last 4 years. I mean, he hit on, you know, the Harbaugh, the, you know, the comeback, you know, with only having Kyle Tabor when Crean got there, the Zeller. I mean, he hit every single one and was really excited about it. I mean, he kind of got me thinking, like, this Indiana team is invincible. You know, so if you're an Indiana fan, you want to listen to Tom Hamilton, because I think he may believe in this Indiana team more than even Crean does. He gets quite excited. So if he's doing the game, then we should have plenty of positive talk about the Hoosiers. But with that said, let's go to some final thoughts. And we will start out our final thoughts with Ryan. And Ryan, to kind of lead you into your final thoughts, I want to kind of pose a question to you. And that question is simply this. If Notre Dame beat USC 22-13, Alabama is currently beating Notre Dame 21-0. How badly would Alabama beat USC?
Well, one thing you have to remember is that Lane Kiffin is currently USC's head coach, so I have no confidence that it would be under 100 by the end of the game. So absolutely zero confidence. He is the Mike Davis of USC football coaches. We'll just say that.
Okay, well, good for you for transitioning it back into IU basketball. That was very deft of you.
You can recruit like a madman, but just doesn't do anything with it. So, you know, I think it's an apt comparison, actually.
That's pretty good.
My final thought tonight is just, I mean, I just, the whole game tonight, I was just remembering how hard it was for IU to get road wins like a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago at this point. And, you know, and for a few years before that, I mean, even during, you know, some of the past coaching eras, it was tough. And it seems like they've hit on a winning formula on the road. And, you know, obviously Iowa and Penn State aren't Michigan State and Michigan, but those, I mean, they're teams that play hard. They're Big Ten teams, and we just, you know, outplayed both of them for mostly, you know, almost all of the game. I thought Iowa had stretches where they played pretty well, but I didn't feel like that game was ever in doubt. And tonight, they just came out and blew Penn State's doors off in the first few minutes, and it was a laugher after that. So it's really nice to see the team play so well. And as Crean said in his post-game comments, that, you know, Indiana defended for 40 minutes tonight, and you can't argue with that. If you look at the numbers, Penn State scored 51 points, shot 31% from the field. Yeah, so they did defend for 40 minutes, and that's going to be the key to whatever happens this year. I mean, we know they can score, but they're going to come to a game where their shooting's off, where the offense is off, and they need to defend. And as long as they can do that, the sky's the limit for this team.
Agreed. Let's go over to Zach. Zach, your final thoughts on tonight's IU victory over Penn State.
Yeah, well, kind of just to simplify what you guys have been saying, you know, a Big Ten road win is a Big Ten road win. You know, whether you liked the win at Iowa, you know, a few days ago by 4 points, this one a lot more commanding by over 20 points. Even if you were discouraged a little bit by the depth like I was, the rebounding, whatever it may have been, a Big Ten road win is always going to be a Big Ten road win, no matter how good or bad the team is. And you win it by over 20 points, and it's never close. And you know, I mean, really never close. That's definitely a positive to take forward. The team needs to know that they can do that on the road. And second, that, you know, this game on Saturday at Assembly Hall is, you know, it's one of those games, you know, back in November when we were talking about how fun the Big Ten season was going to be to watch. This is one of those games. It's pretty much as good as it gets. Two top 10 teams, Minnesota playing very well. You know, they're going to test us in some ways that we've struggled with recently, you know, depth and rebounding. And I think it's going to be a tough test. Who's your fans? You know, if you're in Bloomington or not, you know, wherever you are on social media, in Assembly Hall, wherever, just, you know, give the team all the support you can. It's going to be a tough test. I think Indiana can pull it out, certainly, you know, because they're at home. But yeah, definitely a game I'm looking forward to watching, and I think they're going to test us, like I said, in ways that, you know, we really need to find out more about the IU team before we can really start to say if they are, you know, good enough to win the Big Ten and be, you know, number one seed in the NCAA tournament like we've thought that they should be for a few months now.
Yep, agreed. Andy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to kind of touch on the road win thing just for a second more, and looking back to last year, that's now 4 out of the last 5 Big Ten road games that IU's won. So, and not in every case has it been the cream of the crop, but again, you know, winning games that you have to win on the road and answering at least a few questions there, I think, has been important. And this was a case where, you know, they didn't come out and let a team that they were clearly superior to hang around, and I thought that was pretty important. And I think, you know, looking ahead to Saturday, I think there's a lot of positive things going into it. I think obviously having Watford go in on a high note is important, you know, similar to, you know, Hull's getting back on track again. That was surprising, but, you know, good to have those guys go in with momentum. I think it's definitely going to be a case where the environment should be good. These guys hopefully have a little bit of revenge on their mind from last year and losing to them in Assembly Hall. And I think really looking forward to a good game, and be very interested to see how IU responds from a, you know, from a turnover perspective, from an offensive rebounding perspective. You know, those are things that are going to be, you know, drilled into them for the remainder of the week. And Minnesota's got a tough game coming up, I think, tomorrow night or Wednesday against Illinois. So they've got another test even coming into that this week. And I think it'll be, you know, arguably the best team that IU has played so far this season. And be interested to see how the team responds, certainly as we talk through, you know, kind of the schedule and how we're expecting things to play out, a game that you feel like you should win at home no matter, you know, how good the opponent is, just because I think this IU team can be that good. So definitely an exciting game and one to get up for and get excited about come Saturday.
Agreed. I can't wait for this game against Minnesota, not only just to exact revenge for a game that we know that we should have won last year, but just for what it means. I mean, this would be a top-10 victory. You know, these are the kind of wins, if you want to be a number one or a number two seed come March, you gotta win. And look, you know, the formula for this Indiana team to compete for a Big Ten championship, which – you know, there was a great point made on the broadcast that, you know, Indiana was anointed before the season as the Big Ten favorites, national favorites, Cody Zeller's preseason player of the year. you know, and that's coming off of, you know, not winning the Big Ten last year, making the Sweet 16. This team still hasn't won anything yet. And so, you know, that's important to remember. And this team is still hungry. And, you know, when you look at it from a, you know, from a Big Ten perspective, competing for that Big Ten championship, the formula is win your home games, you know, take care of the teams that you should beat on the road. Indiana should have beaten Iowa and Penn State on the road, and they did. And then steal a victory here or there. You do that, and you're going to be competing for a Big Ten title in a season when, you know, the winner is probably going to have four or five, maybe even six losses because it's that competitive of a league. But if you're going to compete with a team like Michigan, you know, that may only get clipped, you know, four times, then, you know, this is the kind of game that you have to win. So I'm really excited to see how Indiana comes out. Frankly, I think Indiana's going to come out and play really, really well. And I think the experience of last year losing to this particular team is going to help. Not that Indiana needs any help, you know, kind of getting focused. And we saw tonight that they came out focused and ready to play, which was nice to see. And they usually come out focused and ready to play at home. But, you know, I think the memory of last year, knowing how good Minnesota is this year, and this really being the biggest game that this team's played this year. I mean, you know, North Carolina may have been ranked when they came into Assembly Hall, but that wasn't, you know, they've obviously proven not to be, you know, that great of a team. And there really weren't that many other really big games inside of Assembly Hall in the non-conference. So this is going to be the first really big-time atmosphere that we've had. And so I think, you know, for those reasons, it's a big spot for Indiana, a spot they need to win, a spot that I think they will win. But before we get there, you know, hey, you know, we can be excited about the two road wins to start off the Big Ten season. You know, we know how hard it's been to get these road wins over the last 3-4 years. So now is certainly not the time to take them for granted. So another good performance by Indiana tonight. A lot of positives to take from it. Now we wait for Saturday. And we, of course, will be here on Saturday. That game is a noon Eastern tip. So for us here in the Central Time Zone, 11 a.m. tip, nice and early. Hopefully all the students get out there and are excited by that time of day. I'm sure they will be. And we will be here with hopefully another victorious episode of the Assembly Call right after that game to dissect it all as we always are. So we thank everybody who listened tonight live. You know, actually, you should be thanking us for giving you a diversion from this terrible BCS National Championship game. But we do appreciate your time. We appreciate everybody who listens on iTunes and everybody who follows us on Twitter at Assembly Call. We love doing this show for you, and we'll be back here doing it again on Saturday after Indiana, Minnesota. And with that said, have a wonderful evening, and we will talk to you soon.